That is the national anthem of Mexico, Viva Mexico, a country with whom, towards whom we should show the greatest respect and with a dash of humility, because we've already kind of embarrassed ourselves by jumping in, agreeing to do things to Mexico with Trump, even though we claim that we're all standing on our stiff-backed and strong, and et cetera. Mexico is the real deal, and so is the president of Mexico, Ms. Sheinbaum. We're joined now by Tony Leo of Unifor. He's a Unifor activist, but he's also an author of a great book, and it's the truth about the GM strike in Oshawa in 37. Tony, welcome to the program.
Hi, Phil.
I probably turned the title around. Okay, it was close.
Close enough.
Close enough. 37, GM, etc. Tony, we're very concerned because we had our big statement there was a big meeting on Friday. The Prime Minister was there, and various high level. Monopoly corporations were all represented, and labor was invited. And I have to go by pictures, but I understand pictures better than I do prose. Trudeau was standing in front of people I kind of recognized. One of them was the president of your union, Unifor. Another one was the great labor leader, who is now in the Senate, Hassan Youssef. And there are a few others, but they seem to be, I have to say, I think I prejudiced my comments. They appeared to be window dressing, to, at least as a picture. But so what were they doing there, and how is labor going to be involved in this confrontation with Trump?
Yes, I think that, I think you've described the picture well. And what it indicates is that some labor leaders have agreed to be selected by Trudeau and his government to be on the stage, but under his direction. There hasn't been a labor gathering where union representatives were able to discuss and thrash out what labor's policies and programs should be. They have just agreed to join in, and the leader of Unifor, for example, Lana Payne, was one of the first to be named to Trudeau's council on dealing with U.S.-Canadian relations. So that makes her Trudeau's representative, not Labor's representative, and they don't seem to recognize that. I found it, frankly, embarrassing at the time of that meeting on Friday when the president of the Ontario Federation of Labor was interviewed, saying that she thanks Trudeau for inviting labor to be there. Mm-hmm. I don't think that shows the right attitude. Labor should be demanding to have its voice heard and should have its own independent demands. Mm-hmm. It's even worse at the level of the Canadian Labor Congress, and you and I talked briefly about this, but it is a very short statement that was put out, and you know, maybe I read it.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, please.
Dated February 7th, the Canadian Labor Congress posted this on their Facebook page. So this is a statement from the Canadian Labor Congress, supposedly representing, you know, millions of unionized workers in Canada. Here's the quote. Business and labor don't always see eye to eye, but when it comes to protecting jobs, communities, and the economy, we're on the same side. The threat of U.S. tariffs would drive up costs, disrupt industries, and put workers at risk on both sides of the border. That's why Canada's unions and businesses are standing united to fight back. read CLC President B. Brusk and Canadian Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Candace Lang's full op-ed on National News Watch. That's the whole post.
So, since we already know the answer, we don't need to know what the problem was we were talking about. So there won't be any emergency meetings of any of the labor bodies across the country. And the Prime Minister shows how important your union is. He decided he wanted your union, Unifor. All the initiative is on his side of the equation.
Yes. Yeah, and the political direction, the demands, the strategy are being determined by the Prime Minister and his government. And union leaders who sign on to that are giving up their, I would say, are giving up their independent voice to determine what they should be doing. And they're standing beside a government which has repeatedly been a strike-breaking government, broke strikes in the ports in Montreal and Vancouver, ordered railway workers back to work, ordered the postal workers back to work, broke their strike.
They may be needing to do a lot of that in the near future,
yes,
breaking
hopefully.
Strikes and telling people what to do.
But to stand beside them and say, we are on the same side, is unbecoming of labor leaders. They're also saying they're standing beside and on the same side as businesses who have attacked workers nonstop over the last number of years. We've got, you know, businesses like Amazon, you know, pulling out of Quebec to stop a union drive. We have mining companies that are absolutely horrible in the world and in Canada. One of the members of the Canadian Chamber of Congress is a company we've talked about before, Glencore. We have energy companies that are contributing to the huge problems the world is facing with carbon emissions and lobbying to prevent any serious attempted to solve problems like that. How can we say that we're on
the same side? Yeah, you know, you have to say to them, that sounds sweet, and maybe a little delusional, but the ideologically, if you're talking about the ideology that would flesh out that point, it's company unionism. Suddenly, we're a company town.
It is the very definition of company unionism, and it means that these representatives, supposed representatives of workers in Canada, instead of representing their class interests, they are falling in line with whatever our ruling class deems to be the way to go. And that includes, and I think that you pointed some of this out earlier in the program, that includes undermining and attacking workers in other countries.
Yes.
Trying to benefit at their expense. The first thing that union leadership in Canada should have done faced with this crisis is reach out to workers in all the countries that are under attack, in Mexico, in Panama, in Greenland. Why aren't we saying, we're under attack, let's talk about how we can support each other? Because we have class interests that are in common. We should start questioning our subservience to a government which has been very quick to support the U.S. empire around the world, and which means attacking workers in Gaza, in Palestine, in Mexico, and make a very long list. And how does that benefit us as workers to be supporting that?
Yeah, why isn't there an energetic and thoughtful and respectful approach to the workers of that are most affected in North America, starting with Mexico and the United States. Why aren't the phones, ringing off the hook, as they used to say? That's an old expression for those who have mobiles. But would think they would be diligently and energetically calling each other, because you guys are wage slaves. We're wage slaves. We have unions. You have unions. Let's work out an agreement. But we actually, the United States and Canada, the unions, define Mexico as not part of the group. Because they say, we don't like their unions. I saw that the UAW leader said about Mexico, they have to do more for the Mexican workers. And I would say to him, half of the auto industry in North America is not organized. And you say that's because of the bosses, because of the U.S. government and the Canadian government allow a situation where you can't organize auto workers. So what are you talking about Mexico?
Yes, and we've talked in this program about some of the amazing positive steps that are being made to improve condition of workers in Mexico under AMLO and under Claudia Sheinbaum. I found that a very disappointing statement, and it's the wrong direction. And, you talk about having the phone ringing off the hook. We also mentioned that when this crisis broke, the quote from Lana Payne, the head of Unifor, was that she was on the phone nonstop calling politicians and business leaders. So they weren't burning up the phone lines, but they weren't talking to the right people, I don't think.
Yeah, it's not even in the Canadian Labour Congress anymore or the Ontario Federation of Labour. Why don't they say, hey, this is an emergency, let's start meeting?
The meetings should have been the very first step. And on the question of tariffs, too, where our allegiances lie, it was not very long ago that Unifor announced that they would support any measures that the Canadian government took against China, including the imposition of 100% tariff.
100%.
Chinese vehicles. And
well, that would be because China isn't threatening us. It's easy to be brave against a guy who doesn't want to fight you.
Yes, so they supported that. And then when it's turned against them and the Trump government announces 25% tariffs, all of a sudden, that is awful. That's horrible. We can't stand for that, and quite rightly. But why were they in favor of imposing 100% tariffs on China? Well, they've defined China as the enemy, and that's only because the U.S. told them that China's the enemy. It's not because we've experienced any threats from China.
Even in the business page of the Globe, they've permitted a couple of articles saying, hey, why don't we just invite China to build some auto plants here?
Sure. I mean, there's so many.
I hate to tell them the answer is because you're scared to death to do that.
Yes.
You don't want to be invaded, would be the simple answer.
When people are reacting against these threats and recognizing that they are threats, I think that they should be asking themselves, isn't it time for us to disentangle ourselves from supporting that imperial project? Why are we part of NATO and the Five Eyes? Why do we do whatever the U.S. says? Look at this schlamazel with Huawei, and that hurt us. We were doing that at the direction of the U.S. government. Why aren't we talking about more public ownership of our resources and planning?
All the resources should be, it should be understood, will be nationalized in the face of any threat to take them.
That would be a good direction, and it would benefit Canadian workers. Whereas,
sure, because that's their wealth.
That's ours. It's supposed to be ours.
Yes.
Instead, we keep getting derailed into, we have to support our companies. We have to
ours.
Make sure the government.
Did anybody look closely? Who owns our companies?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they're not even Canadian owned. But we have to give them billions of dollars. We have to give $15 billion to Volkswagen to build a battery plant.
No guarantee there will be a union.
No guarantee.
You're given a chance to organize it.
Yep.
If you can do it.
And this idea that we're on the same side and we're standing together means that, again, we'll be trapped into, well, what can we do to make sure that none of these corporations suffer any pain?
Mm-hmm. The most striking thing, I guess, is this, striking, what an odd word to be using, is that there is no, frankly, class consciousness in the sense of saying, well, I mean, Trudeau alludes to them. He says, here they are sitting behind me. This is the workers. But the simple process of organizing meetings, you would think, clearly, we are in somewhat emergency territory, that it would be the first duty of any leader of any union organization to bring together their own group, but also to organize an emergency conference. What do we think? And what do we need so that our employers understand us, since we are the great majority of the people? We need to put forward a list of things we require, because the union, the working class, of course, makes up 80% of the population. That's probably an underestimate.
Mm-hmm. I think that it is an underestimate, and it never gets talked about, the fact that there is a working class, and that it is the vast majority of the population, and that it has interests as a class, as workers. Yeah. And clearly, unions claim to represent workers that are their members. So let's start from that point of view. What do workers need in this crisis? What would make things better for workers? Let's get together and decide that, and then put forward our demands, not just...
So that you can have unity. If you don't bring your demands, you're nothing.
Yes.
I notice that everybody is very concerned about what Alberta's oil bosses want.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, she said we have to say czar, so now we say czar. So labor has to do the same thing.
Yes.
Fat chance. Tony, I do appreciate it very, very much. I think you've highlighted the problem. It's I guess, Shelley's little poem, Shake Off Your Chains, from let to earth like dew, which in sleep had fallen on. We need a bell. Somebody has to ring a bell and wake everybody up. I do appreciate it. Thank you very, very much.
And we can rise like lions from our slumber.
I like that part. Rise like lions. Thank you. Tony Leo. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I said that thing about the bell. Listen, study Mexican history so that you can understand Canada. They rang a bell and said, we're going to be independent. It was the priest Castilla rang the bell, and said, and it was called the Cry of Dolores. And all you have to do is write Cry of Dolores and start learning history. We need a bell to wake everybody up, and starting with Canadian workers, but their so-called representatives who so far are standing with their hands behind their back. I think we are just about there. By the way, you've already heard the Mexican national anthem. I think we'll probably play some more we're not going to play some more. What do you know? We're going to play. No, we have something, I think, by Cliff Cardinale's group, the Skylarks. We really like Cliff Cardinale. Okay. The Taylor Report. See you next week.